Good evening. Welcome to News Talk 94.1 Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Jaden Flynn from the Iron Kitchen, Lab, formerly known as Personal Training.
Yeah, the Personal Training Studio.
A little bit of a mouthful, but hi, Jaden. Thanks for being here tonight.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. So you are a Cookvillian for life,
I moved here when I was 2 years old, so before I remembered anything.
So pretty much you've been here forever. And do you think you'll be here for, like, are you really a Cookvillian for life?
No, probably not. No. I'd like to leave my home base and have that run for a while, but I don't see me just being here. I don't want to say limit myself, because I think there's a lot of possibility in this town, but I don't know why you wouldn't want to go explore other places, you know.
And even bring what you've experiences you've had from other places back to here and kind of even...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Kind of make this area better.
I mean, I tried to leave once.
How long did you leave for?
I moved all the way to Hawaii.
Oh.
Actually, I was back in 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't a little move.
I might have went too much the other way.
Right.
But, you know, a long story short, what I realized is no matter where you go, you take all your own problems and everything with you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, if there's something you're unhappy with, you're not going to go fix that by just going somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
let's talk a little bit, about that. So what year was that? When did you move to Hawaii?
That was 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you,
I was in the car business.
You're a fairly young entrepreneur.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you're under 30.
Yes, I'm under 30.
He laughs 30 so old, he's one of those.
Nah, I just turned 25. I feel old.
Okay. So what's motivated you to start a business here in Cookville?
I knew I was going to start a business when I was 3 or 4 years old. So there was no other option to me.
I've heard some stories about you that you were the kid that would sell, pencils to kids on the playground.
Yeah, they almost suspended me in kindergarten for slinging my Halloween candy. Crazy.
So do you think you just felt that passion and drive to do your own thing and figure out how to make money? Do you think you...
Yeah, to me, I think it's pretty cut and dry as that's either in your blood or not. I don't think you just wake up 30, 40 years old and was man, I really hate what I've been doing forever. And then you start a business. You know, that's one in a trillion people.
So I'm sure some people do it that way.
Some people, yes.
I really feel there are serial entrepreneurs, some people who are just I will find whatever I need to find to be my own boss.
Right.
And then there's some people who are I never would have dreamed this, but I really am passionate about this one thing.
Right. To me, it's I don't care. I'm not attached to nothing. I have a passion for health and fitness and helping people, which is why I think this has done very well, because we believe in what we do 110%. But I'm not romantic with anything when it comes to.
So do you think, you graduated high school. What was your plan? What was your vision for?
I barely graduated high school. I didn't really know.
Okay.
I didn't really know.
I find this often is that some kids that are barely graduating high school they haven't been tapped into the right resources.
No, because we're not set up, the school system, I'll say it over and over and over, it failed people like me, mm-hmm. you know, because if you don't excel at all these extracurricular activities and then you don't excel at the necessary schoolwork, kind of an outcast.
Right. So even though, I feel very passionate and I was a high school teacher, but just because you can't do math and science and sit down and do 20 problems does not mean that you're worthless.
No. When I was in third grade, I literally remember thinking I don't need to know about Saturn. That wasn't going to do anything for me.
Right.
So it was just I have another 20 or 12 years of this.
Right.
For what?
Right. So, finding the fact that all those kind of details, but you never had, did you ever in your schooling years, did you ever find somebody who did believe in you in a way that you thought, hey, maybe I can figure out?
Yeah, I was a Spanish teacher. Actually, his name was Mr. Andrews.
Mr. Andrews.
Yeah, it was when my parents were splitting up and all that stuff. So it was a real weird time. And he always just, he'd pull me aside, check on me all the time, just kind of low key remind me that, if I actually wanted to put some of this quote unquote potential to use, that, yeah. It might turn out good for me on the other side, where a lot of other teachers were just
he's a problem for me. So right. I'm going to ignore him.
Right.
So Mr. Andrews, is that what his name?
Yeah. Mr. Andrews.
Shout
out Mr. Andrews.
Have you talked to Mr. Andrews since high school at all?
Here and there. I probably haven't talked to him in like 2 or 3 years. I will send him a message after this.
Today.
And tell him thanks again. I failed Spanish, by the way.
Which is interesting because I've had students that I thought they hated me. But they're like, because of you and what you believed in me, I was able to excel.
Yeah, it's like for this 45 minutes, like I'm not super miserable.
Right.
So, thanks.
Right. So you graduate. And what was it? What did you start doing when you graduated?
Honestly, like I was just involved in a lot of stuff you probably shouldn't be involved in. And we ended up actually taking me to like a specialist in Alabama. And I was meeting with this guy and we were talking about all the stuff I had going on. I had just done something ridiculous and like put my arm through like a double pane glass window and almost cut a bunch of arteries, was on all types of medication, just ruining my life. And what the guy told
me. Not on a good track.
Right. What he told me, he actually told my parents, he said that I needed to taste some form of success. So mom actually sold Mike Petrello, when he used to own the Ford store, his house when he moved here from Florida. And she was like, hey.
So for those people who don't know, Amber Flynn, Jared, one of the hugest realtors in town and like lover of Cookeville.
The best realtor in town.
The best realtor.
We all know it.
And just the lover of Cookeville.
We all know it. Everyone copies her signs for it. Sorry.
Anyway, so she's your mom. And so they just said, you need to taste some success some way.
Yes. Yes. And I think that is the most underrated drug in America. Success will keep you coming back for something all day long. And it never goes away. It doesn't cost you anything other than what you're born with.
You know? In case you're just joining us, we have Jaden Flynn from the Iron Kitchen and the Iron Lab in today. And so what did you do? How did you find a taste of success at that point?
So mom starts talking to Mike. She's like, hey, I got this son. He's got entrepreneurial whatever. We need to get him plugged in somewhere.
Jeans.
Yeah. Do you have a spot for him? Dude ended up taking me on, which is pretty rare because like I was almost like 18 at the time. And so then I started selling cars and then I had just like tremendous luck in the industry. Like I set the store record, like my fourth month in the business, sold like 23 cars in a month, made like over $16,000, 18 years old. And I was like, yahoo, like I want more of that.
Right.
But then I got kind of confused. Like I thought I was an entrepreneur at that time. I didn't realize there's a difference between being a salesperson and an entrepreneur.
And what do you think that difference is? What's
You're selling for somebody else.
Yeah.
You're making someone else money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting a little tiny portion of all the work you do. It's ridiculous.
So at what point did you say, maybe I just want to sell for myself?
Well, I quit 4 times.
But that success.
And I tried to leave, but I'd try to start something and then it would fail. And I'd try to start something, it'd fail and da 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 da. But then I was like, okay. I don't really remember what all happened in the meantime, but the next thing I do remember is that I'm taking a job at Cookeville Fitness Center and I'm managing that place and trying to get more into the fitness, whatever. And I thought like I had more freedom. I was like, okay, I like to do this. I can kind of do stuff my own way. Da 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 da. 2 months of that goes by and it's like, wow, still on somebody else's time.
Obviously we're on the radio right now, so people can't see. You are fairly.
Yeah, I'm glad they can't see me.
You're physically fit. You're muscular. You've competed in fitness competitions.
Yes, ma'am.
Has this always been a passion of yours? Is to be?
Yeah, my parents used to ground me from working out in high school. It was like the only thing I cared about. But okay. I was like super fat and insecure and hated myself. And
so at some point you were not into fitness and then you wanted to
I started working out like crazy hard at like 12 or 13.
Oh, okay.
You know, like pretty much the earliest almost anyone's going to start unless your whole family's been like into weightlifting and started behind a barbell at like 6 or 8 years old.
So you were like, but you were like the chubby kid in.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you tell me, you ask my mom about it, she's like, Jane, you weren't fat. And I'm like, mom, like we were in Huskies. I was 9. Like,
well, and she's your mom. Moms are always going to be like, oh, you were so cute.
Geez.
Yeah. So you've always kind of had that. So you're working out while you're still selling cars personally.
Right.
You know, you're just doing that. So you get this job for a couple months at Cookeville Fitness. So you kind of find a job that fits your passion a little bit too.
Right. Right. But not my internal wiring.
Right.
You know what
I'm saying? So. And you're still making money for somebody else.
Right. And wasn't really making anything at the time.
So what were the next steps after that?
Well, when I was selling cars, at one point, like I'd always like when I was like, let me back up. When I was like 4 or 5 years old, we took this family vacation. We went to Destin with like a bunch of people from our church and all this stuff. There was one guy, I remember watching him make an omelet when I was 5 years old. He taught me how to make it. His name was Dan Walker. From that moment on, I swear I said I was going to own a restaurant like every day until I opened the kitchen. So fast forward, you know, 15 years later, I'm working in the car business. meal prep starting to kind of be, you know, starting to become like a popular thing. And I actually started meal prepping for people at the car business.
Mm.
Well, after doing that, like it lasted like 2 weeks and I had way too many orders that I could keep up with, but I knew like the profit margins and everything was there. Like I saw like a small opportunity and was like, man, I just can't do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was unhappy at Cookeville Fitness Center, long story short, I ended up bringing that back.
So you're at Cookeville Fitness Center.
Yeah, I'm at Cookeville Fitness
Center. So do you start with those clients that you're working with? Do you start offering meal prep services to them?
Okay, yeah. So what we were doing, I was managing the gym, and then I got up with this guy that I'd known like forever that just started getting into like writing people's like macro plans and mm-hmm. stuff. When If It Fits Your Macros came out really well, which is like just eating basically whatever you want, just staying in a certain amount of calories. Like it's a pretty easy way to get started into all this stuff. So what he would do is he would sell nutrition, and then I would sell like weight programming. So after that kind of started, because we started picking up some people pretty fast. And then that's when I came back to him and I said, hey, I used to do this meal prep thing, whatever. I think there's a lot of money in it. And there was actually a company from Alabama that was bringing meals here, and they would drive it like once a week. And they had this thing, like if you gathered up X amount of meals, like they would feed you for free.
Oh, wow.
So like I got a bunch of people together and ended up ordering like the first week was like, I sold like 76 meals.
Mm.
And then I was like, okay.
There's something here.
Yes. And I was like, I'm not about to do something else for somebody else.
So what year was this that you were?
So this is year four. So
was about
2016-ish? Yeah, my math still ain't that good.
So 2016-ish, you decide, okay, I'm going to do this for myself.
Yes. But it was like, we should do this. But then I had $300 or $400 left to my name and a light bill due. And I went and bought groceries and cooked all this food and put it in Ziploc bags and went and handed it all out for free and said, we're starting a meal prep business on Friday. And we hadn't stopped since.
Oh my gosh. So that was a time where you were back way out in like Burton Branch area.
Yeah. In the middle of,
it was like
down the grade. Yeah.
Scary. I mean, I don't want to say scary, but it was a little shady way, like as a customer myself.
Right. Right.
I was like, is this right? Where am I going? What am I doing?
No, cause we start off with, we made our first like couple, the first cook we ever did, I cooked 38 hours straight.
Oh my
gosh. It's just nuts. Right. So we made it two or three cooks in mom's house, and then we just overgrew.
Yeah, well, and then you realized you needed an industrial kitchen.
Well, we actually started cooking out of my ex-business partner's house for a little while. And then like one day he like randomly busted my house and was like, dude, you suck at life. You suck at everything. Like you're never going to make anything with yourself. Like we're out, we're done. This, that, and the other. And it was like super weird for a while. And then we start like, once we couldn't cook there, we started cooking out of like my homie's girlfriend's house and my grandma's house. And we'd have like a cook going out of like three or four different houses at one time.
So how long did you, we'll get back to that in a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Jaden Flynn from the Iron Kitchen and the Iron Lab in today. And so you were talking about you found this little kitchen down the grade. So you were cooking from there. How long were you cooking in people's houses for?
Probably like 3 weeks.
Okay.
Like we were growing so fast that like that just wasn't going to happen.
So, you know, it's interesting, Jaden, because you've already self-proclaimed not book smart.
Yeah, no.
But it takes much more than knowing how to cook food or how to know the health and fitness values. So how are you running? This is now 4 years into this business. How do you still have a successful business now?
Because, you know, I try to focus on what I'm good at. And then mm-hmm. I find the book smart and the other type of people that possess those ways of thinking and stack them around me.
You've created a good team.
Yes.
Well, and that's really important. So you mentioned a little bit, your first partner you had some kind of issues with. How have you managed to since then kind of put the right people, any advice on putting the right people in place?
Honestly, if you go super hard at something and it's worth having and it's a product that's going to be received by the market, somebody will come to you.
Yeah. If you're passionate about it.
Every single investor, every single partner, every single person I'm linked up with now has came to me.
Yeah. And just knowing what you put into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a year or two where nobody comes to you because no one thinks you're going to see success. But once you make it, everybody wants to be a part.
Oh, for sure.
If you need somebody to help you, like, that's a whole different story. But like once you have a foundation and you need to build off that, there's plenty of people ready to throw money at something that's already proven.
Yeah. So you're in this little teeny kitchen for a few months. And again, you're realizing this is not going to be sustainable.
No, at one point within 28 days, I took us from like we did $10,200 to $21,900, like within that 30 day time period, doubled the company completely. I spent less than $2,000 in Facebook advertising ads and ran the whole thing on just campaigns.
Well, and let's be honest, at that time, there was another meal prep company here in town that was established and you gave them a run for their money.
Yeah, the worst thing they did was they closed their business for a week or two and they remapped their whole model around ours. Okay, so I really believe if they would have continued to do what they were good at, they'd probably still be in business.
Yeah.
Like anytime somebody tries to flip what they do to mimic somebody else, like it's just, it lacks authenticity, it's transparent, it's...
Were you at the time paying attention to what
no.
they were doing? You were just and which I think that's kind of the best advice is just, you know, put your head down and get.
I'm trying to put every single bit of energy I have into furthering what I have going on. The moment you look up and start looking at what other people are doing, you're slowing yourself down.
Yeah, you get distracted. So you move into this place, you're over our, it's on Broad? Is that?
The one we're at now?
Yeah.
Yes, West Spring Street. We're at the corner of Spring and Broad, big triangle building.
Where they merge on the west end of town. So you get this, the kitchen, and you're like, okay, this is going to be, and I mean, it was definitely more legit than the little cabin area.
Right, but I mean, it's still kind of not what, you know, if you had a bunch of money and whatever, you know.
Yeah, so
it's just bare minimum everything.
It
forever.
Wasn't what your vision was initially.
No, it still ain't.
Was the gym already in place when
No, it was actually used to be like a Mexican nightclub. There was a stage, there was a DJ booth, there were tables.
Was it two separate buildings there, or that whole building was one?
Yeah, well, it's like one, like there's, if you haven't been in there, you know, like there's two doors that separate mm-hmm. the two.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was just kind of, because the guy was actually building it all as a restaurant. Like,
okay.
Even like in our gym now, like there's another room on the other side of this wall with two other bathrooms that like no one knows about that we're about to do something with, but that he was going to make like one massive.
Got it. Okay.
Just building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you start the kitchen area, and then did you start the gym area? Or
no,
did somebody
actually,
else approach you?
Dane Owen, shout out Dane. He actually was running the gym over on Jefferson, the personal training studio. I can't remember what it's next to, but you know, whatever.
Somewhere on Jefferson.
On Jefferson. And yeah, well, he was getting food from us, like even when we were back in the shack, and he just became like a super loyal whatever, and mm-hmm. we all became homies, kind of knew each other before then, da 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 da. And he's walking in there one day, and he's like, "I think I can put my gym in here," and I'm like, "No, you can't. Like, there's no way. Like, there's no way."
You thought it was too small?
Well, I just don't think like that. I'm not good at like looking at an empty room and like filling it up and decorating it.
Yeah.
Like I'm awful.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. So he felt like, okay. And he saw that vision. Did you see the vision too at the time of how well they could go together?
See, well, the thing is like, that was my dream from the beginning, was to actually have like almost like a Iron Industries as like a mother company that mm-hmm. came with like a supplement company. Then it had an Iron Kitchen inside, then it had an Iron Lab inside too. And like, I mean, I still have like these massive posters that I've drawn on for like 3 years ago, which is like the big hole But there's nothing that's happened with what we're doing that I haven't spoke into existence first.
Mm-hmm. Are you somebody that makes vision boards and kind of like...
Not really.
I mean, it sounds like somewhat. You have a poster that you kind of have...
Yeah, but like I'm like ADD vision board. Like yeah. I'll just like be in the shower and just like think on it till like I just can't, like till it just feels... real.
Until
and I just
do that all day. Like,
I'm my own walking vision board.
Yeah. So you, how long ago did he start the gym? Like he moved his gym in there.
I think it was like 2 years ago.
Okay.
2 years ago.
So then, and it's now become the Iron Lab.
Yeah. Cause I bought it from him like a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how was that transition? Now you own two businesses that are somewhat related, but they're not the same business at all.
Right. Well, I mean, after it was there, I used to always like joke with him, be like, hey, sell this to me. Hey, like, I'm going to buy it. And then like, yeah. I got like really serious and like, I showed up there every day and like telling myself like it was my gym. Like mm-hmm. I cleaned it like it was my gym. I did mm-hmm. stuff that like I never got any money for because it was my gym. And like the just next thing I knew, like it was my gym.
Mm-hmm. In case you're just joining us, we have Jaden Flynn from the Iron Kitchen and the Iron Lab in. And so you took over about a year ago, the gym. So now you have two businesses that you are the owner of. And what you have some exciting news for us today of some future plans that are going on actually sooner than maybe people would think.
Yes ma'am. So August 11th we're actually taking the kitchen and kind of transitioning into the Iron Kitchen Cafe. I think one of our biggest issues is I think the public is still like a bit confused on how we work. One, mm-hmm. because meal prep is very, very new. Two, even somebody that's been kind of doing it for a while, there's just like so much information and so many variables like involved.
Well, and here's the thing is that if you look at me and you look at you, you meal prep to like bulk up and get huge and strong. And I would use meal prep for just to eat healthy and to stay, you know, but people get in their mind that you have to look like you want a meal prep.
And the thing is like, most of the stuff we have, it's like a competitor can't even eat that on their diet. Like it's still very, 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 very healthy. It's just like a competitor can't have ketchup. Like it's just absolutely insane. But like we try to hit like the good middle ground. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's not going to like if you.
It's not one of the strict diets of like keto, but it's going to be.
It's literally healthier than any other store like you could possibly.
Well, and I think I would guess you agree in really the health and fitness world, you want to know the right way to eat and not just the foods that you have to avoid.
Right, right. You know, so because we have like our Iron Kitchen meal prep service, you know, that you can order online and pick up for. And then we have like a restaurant walk-in business. And then we also do wholesale distribution stuff in Middle Tennessee and Murfreesboro and a couple other places, you know, so. I think everyone always kind of thinks it's kind of the same thing. It's like mm-hmm. when sometimes people will walk in with a big list they've written from their website and it's like, we don't sell that right now. So I think if I take the Iron Kitchen Cafe, separate that, brand it as its own thing, it runs from these hours to this hours with these menu items, and then brand the prep as something different with all the information and kind of distinguish the look between the two,
mm-hmm.
like I think it'll create a lot more clarity.
That makes a lot of
for
sense.
Individuals,
so you will, in this cafe, you will have in house seating and people can eat there and meet for lunch and
absolutely
we're
gonna start with about 9 or 10 hot items. We have some salad options, some wrap options, some healthy burger options, and then we're gonna have like some healthy snacks, and we're bringing back our protein shakes and a couple other things.
How crazy. So this is almost like a third venture. So you know, you started meal prep, so you were doing just cooking, you started this gym, so that was, you know, and now you're going to be running a restaurant. That's different than running a kitchen where you're just cooking.
Yeah. And then through the meantime, I mean, I've kind of backed from it a little bit, but we were kind of running our own thing called Elevate Studios, where we were just shooting videos for all types of people. I mean, at one point we were running like 15, 16 Instagram accounts. I also consult for another company as well. So there's a couple irons in the fire.
Irons in the fire. So how can people find you and the Iron Kitchen and learn more? So where are you guys at?
Yeah, so we hit social media is very, very heavy with our daily specials, all our ads, all that stuff at Facebook at the Iron Kitchen 931, I believe, or it might already be switched over to the ironkitchen.co. Our Instagram's the ironkitchen.co. You can find me at Huncho J or Huncho J Films.
Okay. Do you have a website?
Yeah, theironkitchen.co.
Theironkitchen.co. And that's where people can order.
We ask that all of the orders be placed on there, and then you can actually sign up for personal training. You can schedule consultations, a couple other things as well.
Awesome. Well, check it out. Thank you, Jaden, so much for coming in today. It was great having you, and best of luck in the new adventures.
Yeah, thank you.